This is the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I'm a big star, you know.
Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
Good morning, DCR.
Got the number one pick and a Super Bowl champ with the man they can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make him need to run.
That's Lawrence Taylor!
Cut him every trash, DMT for short. Wonder if we best, why don't you peep the score? Sports Center Reed, gonna be top stories of the morning. While you're yawning, grab your coffee, rise and shine with 98.7. This is Drive Time. We provide highlights from your favorite teams. Dave, Chris, and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
Had a good Tuesday morning, March the 23rd, 2021. We have 16 teams left in college basketball. Rangers with a win. Islanders with a win. Giants with a win. We're a week out from Major League Baseball. We've moved into spring, guys. We are turning the proverbial corner. How are we? What's going on, Chris Canty? How you doing?
Doing pretty good, Dave. It's been a hell of a free agency for our New York Giants, hasn't it?
It has been a heck of a free agency for our New York football Giants. Good morning, Rick. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic, Dave. Got a nice little sun-kissed tan. Islanders win again. Sorokin wins again. I mean, what is there to be mad about right now? Nothing.
There's not a lot. The weather was gorgeous. I mean, beautiful weather day yesterday.
Here's what concerns me a little bit, though, before we get into your Giants.
What, like, you see, you have such vitriol. Why such anger? Your Giants? What did I do?
No, you didn't do anything. a little concerned, and I'm going to need your advice here. My son has no interest in practicing anything.
Like,
catch lasted like 6 minutes. Beautiful day. Let's play a little catch. Baseball started up soon. 6 minutes. He was done.
That's not good. Now, let me ask you this. Is it he says, I don't enjoy practicing anything, or baseball bores me?
No, it's more like anything until all of a sudden there's an audience, and then all of a sudden he flips the switch and he wants to, now he becomes a performer.
Mm-hmm.
Like, now he wants to show off.
Yeah, I don't have the answer for you. I would just say he's a little kid, and his attention deficit, you know, it can wane. But 6 minutes of having a catch, that's it?
Yeah, maybe he's just a gamer, I'm hoping. Like, he's one of those guys, not a great practice player, but all of a sudden game time, you know what I mean? He shows up. He can flip that switch,
which
maybe.
I think he will. But having that work ethic of wanting to get things done in practice is important. Now, he's little, so I wouldn't freak out about it too much. But yeah, stay on him.
Yeah, I don't want to push him too hard, but I'm just like, come on, let's have a nice little catch. So it's beautiful.
Here's what I do not understand, though. 65 degrees yesterday, gorgeous, sunny. He's outside having a catch with dad. Does it get much better than that?
No. No, how could it get much better than that? I mean, it was great.
And 6 minutes, and he's like, let's get inside?
Yeah, then he wants to go and hit his sister with sticks and stuff like that.
Hit his sister with sticks. That could be highly entertaining.
Exactly,
yeah.
Right. I'm like, unfortunately, that's not going to be acceptable in real baseball. We can't do that in real baseball.
Now, when he starts hitting his sister with sticks, how many times, because I have this at a very high level right now, do you have to say, stop doing that before he actually stops doing it?
Multiple times.
Yeah,
multiple times. And then they'll stop, and then they'll go back to doing it again. Like, for a minute, they'll stop, and, oh, yeah, no problem, Dad, we're done. And then 5 minutes later, I'll hear getting
He's hitting me.
Stick
Why is he
again.
Hitting me?
Yeah.
Stop hitting
cry.
Me.
She'll cry, Dad. I said, I told you to stop.
Yep.
I told you to stop. This is what's going to happen. Your brother plays rough.
Yep.
But they don't want to. And then she'll punch him, and he'll freak out.
Oh, yeah.
The wonders of kids.
Nothing
the
different going on than
kids.
Anybody else, though. Chris, are you excited? This is what you have to look forward to.
Yeah, man, I'm excited about it, Dave. Really excited about trying to defuse arguments between siblings. Really looking forward to that.
You're like a hostage negotiator. Right?
is that what it is?
Because if you say, here's what happens. When I say, like, Alex, stop it, it's enough. They'll be like, why is it only me? That's not fair. Give Ben a hard time. I try to equally, you know, and diversely place blame to each other without one feeling like I'm picking on the other. I mean, it's like a PhD kind of thing.
So you're Kevin Spacey from The Negotiator.
Yes.
Okay.
That's exactly what you are. You know what I'm talking about, Rick.
No, I live it every single day. I'm lucky. I mean, you have two boys, so it's not as bad for me because I have, you know, Milo and Ella. But I can only imagine, once Rocco gets mobile here and starts, you know, stealing Milo's toys and everything else, then it's going to be an issue.
So sibling infighting is worse if it's, you know, same sex versus opposite sex? How does that work?
He would know better than me. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, it's a, well, because no, I mean, his sister's younger. I mean, she's not as, like, they're not as, he's not as rough with her as okay. he would be with, if Ella was a boy and they were, they go
forget
at it the
it.
Way they go at, forget about it. Yeah, it would be, it'd be crazy. Because, see, I mean, he knows, like, he can't play overly rough with her. Like, he'll fool around.
At least he knows.
Yeah, but he's humongous, man. He's like, he's 60 pounds. So his idea, he's like baby Huey. Like, his idea of playing, like, gentle with his sister is, like, he just, like, thinks he, like, pushes her easy, and all of a sudden she goes flying.
He is huge, by the way. Huge. Because Alex has friends. We were talking about the other night. He has a friend 10 years old that's 65 pounds. So the fact that this kid is 5 and 60 pounds, huge.
Dude, he's 4'2", 60 pounds.
Yeah, huge. I think Andre the Giant was not that big as a child. No, really. Young Andre was like 5'1", 58 pounds at this point. So have you had the pituitary checked out, by the way?
Pituitary, I think he's good. So far, so good.
Yeah, right.
I don't think we have any issues yet.
All right, I would keep a very close eye on that pituitary. He's 4'2".
He's big. Yeah, I don't know what to tell you. He's big.
He's tremendous.
He's Andre the Giant.
He is.
Drinking
the American version of Andre the Giant. Oh my God. He'll be drinking a case of wine at time.
Exactly right.
At some point.
Yeah, go pick me up a case of Coors Light, would you please?
All right. I can't wait anymore. Can we please talk about the New York Football Giants, Rick? Is that allowed?
Oh, now you want to wax poetic? Now Dave Gettleman's great.
No, I don't think Dave Gettleman's great, but I will tell you this. I think they've had a heck of an offseason up to this point.
Yeah, I mean, how can you say they have? I mean, everything that you've wanted them to address, they've addressed. They got Leonard Williams done. I mean, you needed a number one wide receiver. You got that done. And, I mean, you answer the question at corner. I mean, listen, this is 2 years in a row, though. I mean, last year he knocked free agency out of the park, too. I don't know why you're so hard on him, Dave.
Come on, because I don't think he's done a good job, and I'll stand by that. But I would say this, Chris. I'm excited about it. I mean, you look at what you've done this offseason now, and this is pre-draft. It gives you a lot of flexibility for the draft. But, I mean, I love Jackson. Now, you say we overpaid. All right, even if you did, you love Adoree Jackson if he's healthy, and you have to figure the Giants think he is. And you love Kenny Golladay if he's healthy, and the Giants obviously think he is. You keep Leonard Williams. This is a team that's starting to stockpile some pieces here.
No, you feel good about the areas of need that they address. But if you're healthy is a big caveat in all of this, Dave. I mean, Adoree Jackson has only played all 16 twice in the 4 years he's been in the NFL. And Kenny Golladay has only played all 16 once. So, I mean, those are big ticket free agents. You spend $13 million a year on a number two corner, and you spend $18 million a year on an X wide receiver. Like, I mean, those are some big ticket purchases. So you're hoping that the Giants get the return on the investment. And in order for that to happen, those guys have got to stay on the field. Like, I mean, so that is a huge concern moving forward. But I mean, you have to like how they went about prioritizing what they needed to set themselves up to have maximum flexibility in the draft. So going into, you know, the draft next April, next week, I mean, next month, I mean, you feel really good about exactly where they're at and having the flexibility to go a lot of different ways at 11.
You know what this feels like, Dave, to me? I mean, we've said this a million times. I mean, year three of Daniel Jones, how important it is. You don't want to put yourself in the same spot as the Jets are in right now with Sam Darnold. Especially in next year's quarterback class, not nearly as good as this year's. This is Dave Gettleman's last stand, is what this is.
This absolutely is.
Because if Daniel Jones isn't good this year and they don't win football games, Dave Gettleman's going to get fired.
Yeah, he's gone.
Yes, yes. You have to win football games, and he has to be good. But I will say this: if he's not, like, let's just say worst case scenario, Daniel Jones is a bad quarterback. The turnovers continue. He doesn't take a big step. The Giants are bad again. I think this becomes an attractive job to come in and be the quarterback and be the GM.
No, I mean, all of the things that they're doing, I mean, they're all going to support a young quarterback, whether that ends up being Daniel Jones or somebody else. Like, the pieces are in place. Like, Dave Gettleman has systematically gone about trying to upgrade the offensive line and then putting together a really good defense led by their defensive coordinator, Patrick Graham. Like, all of those things are things that you're going to need for a young quarterback. So even if Daniel Jones isn't your guy and you're forced to try to go a different direction in the 2022 offseason, you feel comfortable about inserting another young quarterback just because of the supporting cast that's going to be around him. But in a perfect world, you'd want all of this stuff to work out and for Daniel Jones to prove that he's your franchise quarterback.
Absolutely. And I will say, look at this secondary of this team right now, right? They have Jackson, who you like.
He's pretty good.
Bradbury, who you love. Yet you have Peppers, who you love. You have McKinney, who looked really good. Julian Love, who got better as the season went on. I mean, they have gone from having the laughing stock of the division, of the conference secondary, to this is a pretty good-looking secondary right now.
No, it's a good secondary. And we thought that DeAndre Baker was going to be a huge loss because that's who Dave Gettleman had penciled in as the number two corner opposite of James Bradbury. And just because of what happened down in South Florida, you ended up having to move off of him. But, I mean, spending $13 million on Adoree Jackson, I mean, it feels like it sets everybody up in the secondary and puts them in their natural positions. Like, you're not asking guys to do things that they're not good at. Now you can focus on Logan Ryan being your slot corner when it comes to sub packages. You know, you can have him as your first and second down free safety. You've got Jabril Peppers. You can play him closer to the box because you got corners on the outside that can hold up in one-on-one coverage on early down. So, I mean, it just feels like this one move with Adoree Jackson alleviates a lot of stress that that secondary had last year. So, again, I don't want to overreact because we're talking about the early part of free agency and all of these big splash moves, you know, lending themselves to people overreacting. But I just feel like based on what they did, the Giants aren't forced to go in any one direction when we get to the draft next month.
Yeah, I mean, and here's the other thing, though, too. I mean, your defense was good last year. I mean, your defense was really good.
Yeah, very. It was a strength of the team.
Yeah, exactly right. I mean, do I like the fact that you lost Dalvin Tomlinson? No, I don't. But again, I mean, what you needed was someone to play next to your all-pro corner, James Bradbury. And you addressed that. And now, I mean, I would imagine, and again, no one knows yet because I think that for you, Dave, I think the offensive line is still a little bit of a question mark.
Big time.
The offense. I feel comfortable saying the offense will be better because it'd be hard to be much worse than they were last year.
It has to be. But I still think that, I mean, there's the two questions, right? One of them you can't fix. One of them is the quarterback. The other is the offensive line. So the offensive line, you can still tweak, and you can, I mean, look at 11. If Rashawn Slater's there, do you take him? Maybe you do. There's nothing you can do with the quarterback. You're locked in right now. He's going to be your quarterback of the future, or at least of the present, I guess I should say. But right now, look at this team as far as skill positions are concerned. I mean, you have the running back. I don't love the tight end, but he's an athletic guy, and he should be good.
Rudolph is the second guy. I mean, that's a good insurance policy. I mean, he's a pro.
I mean, Rudolph is the second guy. You got Galladay, you got Shepard, you got Slayton. I mean, tell me what you're looking for on offense right now. This is, on paper, this offense is certainly getting better and is probably one of the better offenses in the NFC right now, on paper.
Yeah, Dave, but you talked about it a little bit in our pre-show meeting. The one thing that can get in the way of this offense being as explosive as the skill position core would suggest is the offensive line. Like, we thought that we saw some things in the second half of last year. You know, they started off, you know, losing seven of their first eight, and then that offensive line kind of formed an identity around the run game, Daniel Jones being a part of that with zone read, and then they were able to win five of their last eight. So, I mean, it just felt like that offensive line figured something out. It clicked. I'm just hoping that that's the case and that what we saw in the second half wasn't a mirage. If they can build on what we saw in the last eight games of 2019 – or 2020, then I feel like this Giants team is going to be in a good spot. But that would be the only impediment to this offense being one of the more explosive units in the National Football League.
Yeah, I completely agree. All right, so what do we have today? You say give us the menu of the day. Rick, you would enjoy looking at the menu, yes?
That's my favorite thing to do at a restaurant.
Can I interest you in a little CMT at 6:45?
Oh, delicious little appetizer CMT. Nice.
Beautiful, right? Gorgeous. At 7:15 for the main course, he may or may not show up, timely or otherwise, would be Mike Tenenbaum. How does that sound?
That sounds nice. Could be a little gassy, but again, it's a delicious entree.
Right, but I think worth the risk, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
He and Don got a little spicy yesterday.
I did not hear that.
Got a little spicy.
I heard Don the other day saying something about gobbledygook when it comes to
that. Mike T had a real problem with gobbledygook. Yeah.
So here's my issue with Mike T now. He's become belligerent, right? He fought with us last week. He's fighting with Don now. Like, maybe Mike has some deep-seated issues.
Well, in all fairness, we went after him about the flatulence, and then Don went after him about his take on Sam Darnold versus Zach Wilson. So, I mean, I feel like Mike T was backed into a corner and he has to defend himself.
He does. I mean, you saw what he did last week when you went after him. I mean, he doesn't apologize. He comes, I mean, he turns the tables.
You know what? It takes a big person to apologize. If he just said, you know what, I messed up, It's my fault. I apologize. I'll be done.
Dave, you tried to get the guy to confess to farting on air, yes, when he didn't.
Now, I they had 35 runs, 31, excuse me, 35 runs, 33 passes.
I tried to. I mean, we witnessed flatulence on air. He won't admit anything, by the way. I think that is perfectly clear. He farts on air, wasn't me. He blows us off, wasn't me. He's looking to go after Don, wasn't me. Like, everything. It's everything, Mike, with this guy now.
It's Mike Shaggy Tannenbaum. Saw me farting on the radio, it wasn't me.
By the
don't
way,
attack Mike T.
Yeah, clearly. He will clap back.
Oh, by the way, too, did you read? I mean, again, I hate to even bring his name, but you know what I'm talking about. Like, it was weak that we didn't attack Mike Tannenbaum. What are you supposed to do? He's a guest on the show. We're going to attack him for having to
do
get up?
He wants to attack him. Attack, verbally berate our guest on the show, yes.
the guy's doing us a solid coming on the show. We're going to attack him because he had to do a get-up spot?
Yeah.
Come on, man.
We beat him up for it. I didn't like the fact that he chose
joke
get up
with
us, but what do you want us to do?
We could joke around with a little bit.
Scream
about, you know,
at the guy?
Offend the guy.
You're a bad human being.
Yeah, exactly. How dare you go on
for adoption?
How dare you go on get up?
Yeah. What is the matter with you? Pay us money. Give us ransom.
You should be paying us to do the show.
That's right. Leo on Twitter just heard Rick's kid is 4'2", 60 pounds at 5. What in the bleep are they feeding that kid? He's going to be 8 feet tall.
Breast milk, baby.
He's
breast
not.
Milk.
Please tell me he's not.
No, he's not. Still breastfeeding.
You know what, Chris? You laugh. Would you put it past this family?
It's hereditary, Dave. It just runs in the DiPietro family.
That's right. That's their thing. Yep. That's their thing. All right. So here's the question for you.
Some kids have nap time. They have booby time.
Hey, Rocco, right. Rocco, move over. Milo and Dad need a little sip.
Oh, God. There's enough for everyone, guys. Just wait your turn. Be patient. You'll get
it's like a litter of puppies. We all just like...
Come on, it's my turn. See Rick at the end of the line. Come on, Milo. Let's get moving here. It's my turn already. Thirsty, parched, please.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
How big is Milo, did you say?
He is 5'2"-ish, 60 pounds.
No, he can't be 5'2".
I mean, 4'2"-ish.
Okay.
4'2"-ish. 4'2" or 60 pounds.
Okay, because 5'2", he probably would.
He's Manu Bowles kid if he's 5'2".
Yeah, he's not. I would have to get a paternity test if he was that big.
5'2", he'd be bigger than.
Yeah, at that point, we're gonna have to DNA testing. We're gonna have to do something.
All right, so the average 5-year-old, Chris, just for comparison, because you hear 5'2".
Well, he just turned 6. He's not 5. He just turned 6.
Okay, so just turned 6. The average 6-year-old, 3'9", 43 pounds. The average 7-year-old just turned 6, right?
Yeah, just turned 6, yeah.
4 feet, 50 pounds. The average 8-year-old, 4'2", 55 pounds.
So he's bigger than the average 8-year-old. Wow.
He is an average 8-year-old size right now.
Yeah, well, we took him for his last checkup, but when he turned 6, the doctor said he's the size of an 8-year-old.
Yeah. Well, that's a good doctor.
He's the best.
He understands what's happening.
He's the best doctor.
He understands the freakish size of one Milo DiPietro at this point.
You would love this doctor, Dave. I got Alan hooked up with this doctor. He's the best pediatrician of all. Like, you walk into his office, he's got all these signs all over his office. Like, there's no such thing as terrible twos, just terrible parents. Like, so I'll never forget, a couple years ago, we're in there, and I forget which kid. I think they were getting shots. So we're in one of the rooms, and then some teenage girl comes walking in, and she goes in, and he sees her, and he goes, "Let me guess." She goes, "Guess what? You think you have mumps?" She goes, "How did you know?" He goes, "Who told you that?" My mom thinks I have mumps. Tell your mom she's an idiot. You have
TMJ.
Great.
A good bedside manner. Why? What? But he kicked her out. I want to get to the Giants in a second. How would he know that she thought that she had mumps?
Well, because he knows. I mean, he's a pediatrician, so I'm sure he's known them for forever.
Yeah, like, but still, I mean, you've known me for a long time. If I, you know, showed up to the show and I was like, oh God, and you're like, oh, nah, your car broke down, huh? Like, how could you know something like that?
That he just knows. Like, that's who. Like, he's like House, man. The guy's amazing.
He's like the Rain Man of pediatricians.
Yes.
Oh,
He's the best, and he's like a huge sports fan. You'd love him.
Maybe I'll start seeing him.
He'd probably make you cry, though.
Does he take adult children?
Well, you are like an adult baby. That is a good point.
Right? Sherry says I'm very mature. I don't know how he measures the new patients that he'll bring on. All right. So the NFC East. I have a problem with this, but here's my problem with my problem. Do I have a problem because I'm right, or do I have a problem because I'm clouded by my judgment for the Giants? Mm. So let's open it up to the callers and the listeners, 800-919-3776, and you guys as well. Favorites in the NFC East, the Cowboys. They're even money. So if you want to win $100, you got to bet $100 on the Cowboys. Followed by Washington, who's plus 280. So you want to win $100 or 208. If you put down 100, you now win 280. Eagles. Now, here's where I have an issue. You're telling me the Eagles are favored more so than the Giants to win this division? Again, I don't know if it's me or if I have real reason to be bothered by this. They're plus 425. You put down 100, you win 4.25. Followed by, I don't understand it. Maybe you guys can explain it. The Giants, who are expected to come in last in this division, at plus 525. What gives?
I mean, it has to be that they don't trust the quarterback and they don't trust the offense.
They don't trust the quarterback. So they take the unknown of the Philadelphia Eagles quarterback situation over Daniel Jones?
Well, you're asking me. I didn't set the line.
No,
what
do you
want me to
tell
you? He asked me the reason. That could be the only reason. What do you want me to tell you? The coach is good. The defense was really good. I mean, what do you want me to tell you?
No, I just I wouldn't pick
the Eagles.
I'm not blaming you, Rico. What I'm simply saying,
defensive.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
You
what I'm simply
child,
saying is, it's just
it's
just one of those things that I can't fathom. Like, I mean, like we've seen four games of Jalen Hurts, and he won one of them. That's it. And this Eagles roster has gotten old overnight. So I'm just sitting there trying to figure out what does William Hill see that we don't see. Because, I mean, with Daniel Jones, I mean, had it not been for that hamstring injury, you're probably talking about the New York Football Giants winning a division and hosting a home playoff game. I don't understand how you could pick them to finish behind the Eagles. The Washington football team, I get, because they probably have the most elite unit of any of the teams in the division, that being their defense. Like the Dallas Cowboys, I get. With Dak Prescott healthy, the floor for that team is 8-8. And you got a four-year sample size of that. So I get those two teams. But with Philly finishing in front of the Giants and we're not knowing who their quarterback is going to be, I got an issue with that.
So this is not me. So,
no.
Rick, this is not me being Mr. Giant here. This is legitimately questionable in your mind.
Of course it's questionable. I mean, to Chris's point, I mean, that team feels like it's rebuilding. Jalen Hurts hasn't shown anyone enough to believe that all of a sudden he's going to step in after four games last season and not be the worst team in the NFC East. I don't see how that's possible. Unless the people that set these lines were so impressed with Nick Sirianni's press conference, like,
they're
definitely going to overachieve.
What a wordsmith this guy is, huh? Don't miss the most romantic day of the year. Head to 100 Flowers.
Why?
Shut up, really.
Well, I don't understand. Eligibility restrictions do apply.
There we go.
Last year, you had to buy out Alex Rod.
All right, well, I already got one. That I'm fine with.
Here's the other thing, though, too. I don't know why. I mean, I get it. Their defense is great. The Washington football team's defense is great. But why are we all pretending like you know, Ryan Fitzpatrick is going to be the reason that they all of a sudden now win the division?
I don't know.
Correct me if I'm wrong, has Ryan Fitzpatrick ever played in a playoff game?
No.
No.
Okay. No.
And how old is Ryan Fitzpatrick at this point? 37? 38?
Yeah, he's my age. He's draft class.
39.
39?
Yeah. Yep.
So now we're buying into a 39-year-old quarterback who's never done it before, and you give him and them a better chance, twice as good a chance to win the division as the Giants, by the way.
I don't think it's they. I think it's one person. I don't understand how you could look at Ryan Fitzpatrick and have any confidence that he's going to be the guy over 16 games to lead your team to the playoffs. Like, he's a quarterback that's prone for turnovers. That's not something that's going to complement what the strength of that team is, which is the defense.
But how many people have you heard in the last week saying, oh, God, what?
I haven't heard.
They've answered the question to quarterbacks, Washington.
Dave, I haven't heard that many people saying that.
Really?
I've heard one person say that.
Who, Greeny? I mean, Greeny keeps saying it.
Well, I mean, that would be the one person, right?
Well, yeah, for Greeny, the Washington football team is the overwhelming favorite in his mind to win the NFC East.
Yeah, that would be the one person.
Which hasn't happened since 2004, by the way.
What, you've had back-to-back winners in the division?
Yeah, 17 years. Yeah.
That's a pretty big sample size.
Yeah. Yeah, I just
think that's just a fluke.
Yeah.
Here's the thing, though. I don't understand. Greeny's a Jets fan. Like, we've seen this before with Ryan Fitzpatrick. Like, isn't this his M.O.?
Yeah, 2015 all over again, ain't it?
When has Ryan Fitzpatrick ever been really good for a full season as a starter? How many years do you have of that?
He had 1 year in Buffalo where he balled.
With the Jets. But he had the 1 year when the Jets had the chance going into Week 17 to win, beat Buffalo and make it to the playoffs.
Okay, but he's been around for a long time, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And he has one or two full seasons as the starter that you look at and say, that was a big-time year?
Yeah, that's
all right. So and Chris, you say he's 39 now?
Yeah. 38 be 39 this year. In November, he'll be 39. So,
I don't know. To me, it makes no sense. Now, if you say to me, best offense in this division, it's Dallas. Best defense in this division right now, it's Washington. I think I'm missing the boat, because I think if you said most talented team from top to bottom right now, you could argue the Giants are right there.
Who, most talented top to bottom? That's an interesting question, because I think offensively you would probably say, all things considered with the quarterback and everything else, I think that's got to be Dallas.
Yeah, and Washington's on defense.
On defense, but you're saying if you combine both units? I mean, they would have to be, I mean, they're right there in the conversation. And plus, I like their head coach. I mean, I think for me, to see what that defense did last year and how they overachieved makes me believe that they have a really good coaching staff. And that all of a sudden now, Daniel Jones in that same, with this coaching staff going into year two with an actual offseason and a preseason. Like, I think we forget that. I mean, I understand everyone wants to be critical. And with quarterbacks now, like, everything is sped up. Because of trying to get the most out of those first couple years of his contract, mm-hmm. when you're not paying him anything. But still, I mean, that is, I'm not making an excuse. That's a reason, man. That's not easy.
No, it absolutely is.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I don't wake up at 4 a.m. to wear a swim shirt.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at DCR on ESPN.
I saw when the guys tweeted out the show coming up at 5 o'clock this morning. And they tweeted at like 4:30. The first person to retweet it, Mike Tenenbaum, 4:30 this morning. My guess is he's kind of malnourished when it comes to his sleep. He's not getting enough sleep.
I completely disagree. I mean, what do you expect the guy to do? I
mean,
you're talking about a guy who was the general manager of the Jets, the general manager of the Miami Dolphins, and we have him on the radio, and you accuse him of farting.
First of all,
on the radio,
they had 35 runs, 31. Excuse me, 35 runs, 33 passes.
I don't accuse of anything. He farted on air. That's for starters. Second of all, you were the leader of the charge. He farted. It's flatulence. You heard it. I just carry it out to the conversation with him, and now you make me the bad guy?
No, I questioned it. I said, to my ear, it sounded like a fart, but we owe it to Mike T to ask him if it was a fart. He said it's not a fart. So Chris and I, we have enough respect for Mike T that we believe him. You kept pressing and pressing.
So what do you think it was?
I'm going to lean on whatever Mike T says. I don't know if it was a zipper, if he hit the microphone.
A zipper?
I want to believe that he farted, but I'm going to take his word. And then you got Don, I mean, pretty much saying that your take is gobbledygook.
The word
that I know better than you.
Very underrated, by the way.
And that Don LaGreca knows better than Mike Tenenbaum, who's been doing this. This is his job. This is what he does. He actually eats... Like he said yesterday on the show, like he actually goes to lunch with Bill Parcells.
Yep.
And they discuss these things. So he's not speaking out of school when he brings up Bill Parcells when he's trying to make a point. So, Kyle, how would you feel?
Well,
I'd be offended.
Maybe all I said is he farted. I didn't question his football acumen.
No, but I would be offended. And I wouldn't, I mean, I'm not going to be apologetic. I'm going to come out swinging.
Now, which would you be more offended by, Rico? More offended of the fart accusation or what Don did with Mike T's take?
Got to be Don.
It has to be Don.
Okay.
You want? I didn't hear it. You want to hear what happened with Don and Mike T yesterday?
Because I'm more likely to. I mean, if you fart, you fart. Who cares? It's no big deal.
I mean, I think you're questioning everything that defines who this guy in fact is.
I think Wendy Williams has farted on the air before.
That doesn't make it any less embarrassing.
It happens.
Right.
It's part of the pre-show meetings.
I think she had a burp and a fart at the same time.
Yeah, when they're getting ready for the show, they're like, Wendy, what is it going to sound like? And she performs, and then it's like, all right, make sure you do that on the show as well. That's what they do. All right, here is Don and Mike Tenenbaum yesterday. A little back and forth on the K-Show.
the problem that Don had with something that you said. You had said that you would draft Zach Wilson with the number two pick because teams want to pick quarterbacks that they have a hard time defending against. And here was Don's reaction to that, Mike, so you can hear.
Where the hell's he going with that? Sam's not as mobile, so I'm going to go draft the next quarterback because he's more mobile. And he throws Bill Parcells out. Bill Parcells said he would keep Sam over anybody else that's in the draft. You have every right to want Wilson over Darnold. I mean, Mike Tannenbaum's entitled to his opinion. But don't give me all the gobbledygook of coaches draft players that are hard to defend and Bill Parcells. No, they draft quarterbacks who they think are going to be good.
Well, I've been called a lot of things, but gobbledygook's a new one, so that I can add that to the long list.
I never said you. No. I didn't call you gobbledygook. I what you said was gobbledygook.
I didn't call you gobbledygook. Yeah, you'll call someone else gobbledygook. You, in fact, my friend, are gobbledygook.
Don't talk to me that way.
Oh my God, wow. It's so funny. But listen, I kind of agree with both guys. I kind of agree with Don. Yes, the fact that he is more mobile is an advantage, but just give me the good quarterback, whatever he's capable of doing.
No, but I think you're missing the point. Now, I don't know how much Bill Parcells is breaking down these quarterbacks. Like, Bill Parcells isn't on TV talking about the quarterback. So I'm gonna lean on the fact that Mike is doing his homework. Like, Mike's the one going to the Senior Bowl. Mike's the one going to Pro Days. Like, Mike is breaking down tape of the quarterbacks. And he's speaking to when he was with Bill Parcells, when he was with Bill Belichick. What Sean McDermott did in Buffalo is that when you're a defensive-minded head coach, you look for quarterbacks that you have a hard time defending. Because if you think you're the best at what you do, like Bill Belichick thinks he's the best at what he does defensively, right?
Yep.
Like, I mean, you got defensive game plans that are in the Hall of Fame.
Yep.
Like, he's that good. So, and they've always said he always had a hard time stopping Cam Newton. Like, Cam Newton used to drive him crazy. Who's the quarterback of the Patriots right now?
It's Cam
Newton. So if I can't figure it out and I think I'm the best,
yep, how
are they going to figure it out? So what Mike T is saying is financially it makes sense because you reset the money. And as far as Zach Wilson is concerned, he's a more mobile quarterback. He can make more plays with his legs outside of the pocket, which is where the NFL is going right now.
Not only is it where the NFL is going, but it's where their new offensive coordinator wants to go too, because we're assuming that Mike LaFleur is going to run that Shanahan system, and you need a quarterback that has the ability to be able to use his legs to get outside the pocket on those bootlegs, those sprints, all of that kind of stuff, because of how they married the passing game and the run game. Like, that's an attribute that your quarterback has to have, and I guess a lot of talent evaluators in NFL circles are saying that Zach Wilson has that skill set more so than Sam Darnold. So from a scheme standpoint, it seems like it's more of a fit. So on top of the financial implications and being able to reset the money at the position, you also get stylistically a better fit for where your offensive coordinator, your head coach want to go.
All right, let's get into the AFC East in a moment. But before we do, we're talking about the Case Show. Tomorrow, the YES Network will have its 98.7 ESPN Afternoon Drive simulcast team of Michael Kay, Don LaGreca, the argumentative one, and Peter Rosenberg. Call at least two innings of action when the Yankees play the Blue Jays in an afternoon spring training game from Steinbrenner Field in Tampa. To make this all possible, our loyal 98.7 ESPN listeners have helped raise over $20,000. I think it's over 30 now to make the Make-A-Wish Foundation. So thank you to all our listeners for making this happen. To find out how you can help, go to bit.ly/kspringtraining. It's bit.ly/kspringtraining. Before we get to the AFCs, did you see this about Krispy Kreme, by the way?
They had to give away free donuts. A free donut if you got vaccinated, yeah.
Not a free donut if you got vaccinated. If you can get a free donut every day for the rest of the calendar year if you prove that you've been vaccinated.
Yeah, a free donut. I mean, yeah, free donut every day.
If you've been
vaccinated.
I mean, that's a beautiful.
Are you going to go? Are you going to go to Krispy Kreme and just get one free donut?
No.
So you think it's like a marketing ploy?
It's brilliant. Yeah, it's brilliant, is what it is. Yeah,
it's like Costco with their chickens. You go in there and get the $5 rotisserie chicken. That's what brings you in the door. It's like when you go to Target. I mean, every time you go into Target, you're spending. You get targeted every single time.
That's why they call it
target.
That's why they call it that, right?
You're the target. You're the sucker.
The bullseye.
You're the guy.
I'm just going to run in here for a couple of waters and some things. Nah, the cart's
never,
full.
Never.
Not once have I gone into Target and got exactly, like, just got the one thing or two things I'm going in for.
No, that's not how it works.
Target. With a bucket full of things, huh?
Speaking of Krispy Kreme, speaking of food, did you see this new, did you see the, the Cinnamon Toast Crunch situation?
No.
When the guy takes a picture that he found two shrimp tails in his box of Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
God. That's not good.
So he tweets it, and then Cinnamon Toast Crunch says that those aren't shrimp tails. Those are just that's when the sugar, when it's not mixed properly, the sugar gets all clumped up.
No, you idiot. That's not
no, and shrimp. They're clearly like, well, you look at the picture. They're clearly, I mean, there's no getting around the fact. And then like, well, you know what? For the inconvenience, although they're not shrimp tails, we would still like to send you some free stuff.
Why? Why would they send him free stuff? Because he's an idiot.
For this unpleasant experience, we'd like to send you some General Mills vouchers.
The guy's an idiot. The guy mistakes sugar clumps for shrimp tails, and he's going to benefit from that?
No. You missed the point. They are shrimp tails. They're legitimate shrimp tails. When he tweeted this out with the picture of the shrimp tails, he tweeted at General Mills. So they obviously saw it, and they said, under further review looking at this, those aren't shrimp tails. That's
also the they were shrimp tails, but yes. General Mills was wrong.
General Mills is denying it. Yes.
Oh, they don't believe it.
Well, no, they.
They're trying to put a little spin on it, Dave.
Yeah, they're trying to fight it.
Yeah,
very confusing. All right, AFC East. Here we go. Who's the favorites in the AFC East?
Bills.
Yeah, -155. A heavy favorite. It's followed by
Dolphins.
Yes, they're +340. Followed by
Pats.
Yes, +375. Followed by
your Jets. New York Jets.
Where do you think the Jets check in, by the way? So you got -155, +340, +375.
+700.
Rick?
Higher or lower, Bob? I'm going to go higher, Bob. I'll go higher, Bob. I'm going to go, what do you say, +700?
He says +7.
If we start talking,
kind of has a Price is Right feel right now, doesn't it?
Yeah, if we start going, well, you got the two winners. You got the two winners playing as opposed to the one loser.
Yeah, all right.
I'm going to say
Bob Barker of the show.
Are we talking +1,000-ish?
Keep going.
Higher than that?
Wow.
Keep going.
+1,200.
Keep going.
+1,400.
Yep. Jets are +1,400. +1,400 right now to win this division.
Wow. Well, we'll see if Joe Douglas is talking about how his team is being disrespected in the preseason. Nobody's giving him a chance.
Nobody's giving him a chance is right. Falcons, by the way, just to give you a comparison, NFC South, Falcons the worst at +1,000. And they're in the division with the Super Bowl champs.
Yeah.
Lions are horrendous. They're +2,800.
But Dave, wow, 2,800.
But how about
fans are biting kneecaps off, huh?
The Texans right now, with all going on within that organization, have a better chance odds wise to win their division than the Jets do theirs.
Wow. But I mean,
they still have Tyrod Taylor. Yes. At the very least,
come on, man! Don't throw Tyrod under.
I'm being honest. That Tyrod Taylor. I mean, it feels like the Jets are going to draft a quarterback. So you're going to have a rookie quarterback, or at least you have Tyrod Taylor, who's capable of winning football games.
Mm-hmm.
Like no one knows what Zach Wilson's going to look like if that's who they draft.
No, we don't have any idea. But I guess my whole thing is this: if that's what the sports books are projecting for the Jets and, you know, that potentially being an indicator of how competitive they'll be this season, doesn't that give you more reason to take a quarterback at two?
Yes.
Like I'm just saying, like if everybody in division is leaps and bounds ahead of you, then it makes sense to reset the money at the position. Why saddle yourself with Sam Darnold for the next couple of years and pay him $25 million guaranteed in 2022 when you don't have to? Like that part of it doesn't make any sense to me. Like just go ahead and go with Zach Wilson or whoever you think the second best quarterback in this draft is. And then see what you can get for Sam Darnold. If you can get a second or third round pick, so be it. You add more assets, more ammunition in the coffers for Joe Douglas to continue to build out this roster. But this Jets team, no matter what they do in the draft or the rest of free agency, they're not going to be competitive in the AFC East in 2021. It's not happening.
No.
So I think the thing that you have to look at as the win is trying to lay the groundwork, set the infrastructure for what your team will be. And to me, that would be going with a quarterback that's more in the mold of what your new head coach and your offensive coordinator want.
Yeah, we're in agreement on this show. Diana Rossini, I heard her on, I guess it was Friday with Greeny, and she said the Jets have no idea what they're going to do right now. This is not like they're even leaning in one direction. You make this face, Rick. this face of,
they know what they're going to
do. They know what they're going to do, Dave. I mean, why would you tell people you know what you want to do when you have the second overall pick and everybody already knows that Jacksonville is taking Trevor Lawrence? Like, we've been saying it for months. The draft starts at 2. So if you're the Jets, why would you tip your hand one way or the other?
That's fine. You don't need to tip it, but you could say we know what we're going to do.
But why?
Why?
Well, why? I mean, you want people to call you. You want people to try to get the number 2 overall pick, or you want people to call you to try to get Sam Darnold. Like, you want as much, you know, as much chatter out there, as much smoke out there, just so you can maximize whatever return you're going to get, whether compensation you're going to get for either the draft pick or the quarterback, whichever one you decide to deal.
They're going to get a ton. If they decide to trade out of that 2 spot, they can get a boatload. Let's go to Matt in Queens. Matt, you're first up. Good morning on 98.7 ESPN.
Nice to speak with you early in the morning. You know, with the Jet free agent signings, I've been saying this for years. Bill Belichick, you know, this guy utilizes and understands the importance of the tight end. I mean, I can think of so many Super Bowl teams that have great tight end play. The Jets haven't had great tight end play in years. So, like, when the Patriots get, like, Hunter Henry, to me, that's a huge loss for the Jets. You know, Corey Davis, he might be okay. I like the fact that he's, like, really low in the amount of receptions that he got, but he's pretty up there in his total yards. That might be interesting, but I'm unimpressed with what the Jets are doing. The Giants are, like, way ahead. Way ahead.
Well, they should be way ahead. And second of all, I don't understand, Matt, why you're so unimpressed with what the Jets have done. They had a legitimate piece in Lawson. I think if healthy, Rankins is a tremendous upgrade. And I like Corey Davis. I don't love him, but I like Corey Davis.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you. I mean, and again, who knows? I mean, the one thing I will say I agree with Matt is, I mean, the tight end position has been awful for the Jets.
Yeah, it's been really bad.
It's been
for
really
a long
bad.
Time.
And I would imagine that's going to be an important position in Mike LaFleur's offense, because you see how important George Kittle is in Shanahan's offense in San Francisco. I mean, maybe it's this offense ends up, you know, unlocking something in Chris Herndon that we haven't seen.
There's always the potential for that. Well, yeah, you can't bet on it, Dave, but it does have the potential for that. I mean, we'll see what happens. I mean, that offense, it's really about their offensive line and their quarterback more so than anything else. Like, that offense relies on the scheme being able to use misdirection in order to create opportunities both with running lanes but also in the passing game with displacing the second and the third levels of the defense. So I look at it from this standpoint, like, the most important thing for Mike LaFleur and Rob Saleh is making a determination on the quarterback. And from that point, you can figure out the rest of the stuff. But I don't think it's imperative that they had to go out there and make this huge upgrade at the tight end position. I feel like there were a lot of other needs that this team needed to address in free agency and in the draft. And the fact that they did go in free agency and get 2 professional wide receivers in Corey Davis and Keelan Cole, I feel like that's going to help a young quarterback tremendously.
They need everything. There's not one thing, Rick, on this roster that you can look at and say, no, you know what, the Jets are they're pretty much set there, outside of maybe left tackle. So there's not a position that they would have signed in free agency that you would say is not a need. They didn't address tight end, and what I would say is they didn't address tight end yet, and you have to figure they're going to do that.
Yeah, I wouldn't be outraged that they haven't addressed tight end yet. I mean, I would If I would have criticized anything, it would be, I mean, I think the offensive line still clearly needs work.
A lot of work.
So, I mean, that's, and I'm sure, listen, Joe Douglas is a former offensive lineman. He knows. I mean, that's obviously something that he's going to have to correct, because I don't care who the quarterback is. Could be Sam, could be, you know, Zach Wilson. You still need to, I mean, have an offensive line that can block. And I would imagine this new system have to be athletic.
Yeah.
And be able to move.
Yeah, and there are offensive linemen out there in the second wave of free agency. So, I mean, it's not like it's all said and done in terms of what they're going to do with veterans, adding those guys to that group. I mean, it's not something that they have to, you know, they can only do during the draft. So I just think that Jets fans have got to kind of pump the brakes a little bit. They didn't make any huge splashes when it came to some of those expensive positions in free agency other than pass rusher. But, I mean, I got to say this. I love what Joe Douglas did the first week of free agency. I don't know how you could be down on it.
Well, he clearly has a type. I mean, there was a certain kind of player that he was looking for. It was, you know, culture-wise, how they fit with the new coaching staff. They're
young,
all about football. And they're young. Because, I mean, let's look. He just brought up the odds. This is not a team that all of a sudden this year is ready to win. They're not. So you got younger guys that are just hitting their stride. You, I mean, you're paying for, you know, upside. And then, you know, in 2 years, you know, everyone's hitting their stride at the same time. Which, again, is the reason why I would probably draft a quarterback with a second overall pick. Not to mention the fact that now you reset the money, and over the next couple of years, the salary cap's going to explode.
Yep.
So in 2 years, it's going to be way more than it is now.
And look at the benefit. If all of a sudden now I got Zach Wilson going into year three making no money.
I'm right on a rookie deal.
And the salary cap explodes.
So much money.
As opposed to Sam, I mean, he's going to get back. I know I don't like how the economics of the NFL work, but that's just how it is. You know, he's going to get paid. I mean, if you decide to keep him, pick up his fifth year option, and he's good.
He's going to get paid north of $30 million a year.
Exactly.
Yep. 100%. The Michael Kay Show's Drop Madness. It continues today, guys. Have your dial tuned to 98.7 ESPN at 3 o'clock, and be ready to cast your votes for each matchup at TMKS ESPN on Twitter. Drop Madness presented by Wendy's, where quality is our recipe. Wendy's, we got you. So RJ gives us the little rundown every day. And in today's rundown, he got me to thinking. He says, New York expectations. What GM has the most pressure on him right now? And my initial thought was the Nets. And then no. I said, no.
It's Gettleman.
No, I don't agree with that.
What do you mean you don't agree with that? If they don't have a good season, you get fired.
Yeah, Gettleman's up there, but I think that Cashman's up there as well.
Cashman's not going to get fired. If the Yankees don't win a World Series, Cashman's not going to
get fired. But the expectation is the Yankees are going to do big
things
this season.
So what's more? To time out. You got to define what pressure is for me then.
Well, maybe RJ can define it for us.
I think the pressure would be if I don't win, I'm going to get fired. I'm no longer going to have a job. That seems pretty pressure-packed to me.
So, RJ, why don't you define it for us? When you wrote this in the rundown, did you mean needing to win ultimate championship, or did you mean job on the line here?
It could be either. I was more so thinking the team with the most pressure this season, mm-hmm. like over the next 9 to 12 months, depending on what season you're in right now. Like that could be the Nets and what they're doing. That could be the Giants. That could be Joe Douglas. That could be the Yankees.
Yeah, if you're going to phrase it like that, I would put the Giants as that team.
Well, you can't sit here and say in the opening segment of the show when I said this feels like Dave Gettleman's last stand, that if they don't have a good season, that he's going to get fired, and say that that's not the most pressure-packed of all the GMs.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I have nothing left!
Hear more of DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.